You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Interesting news on the trade front, not having to do anything with the Browns. There was a trade that sent Andy LaVitra, the guard, to the Atlanta Falcons from the Tennessee Titans. And right now, the Broncos and Cowboys are in the midst of discussing a trade for Monty Ball.
Wow. I like that from the Cowboys' perspective.
Bring him in along. I guess they must not have been overly impressed with Joseph Randle. You could bring Monty Ball in. They've got Darren McFadden, just another guy to kind of throw at that running back spot. And Monty Ball, by the way, in his audition, which is what they did with him yesterday, was a trade audition. I think he had like 17 carries for 18 yards and did not really put up a phenomenal performance.
Now, I wonder about that guard that got traded. What did they give up for that guard?
A sixth next year and a conditional pick the following season.
See, that's probably too much for the Browns to give up for a seventh lineman.
He's probably a starter. I mean, Andy LaVitra's
right, but the Browns aren't looking for a starter.
No. Mm-mm. Monty Ball yesterday, 16 carries for 27 yards with Denver's backups. I mean, the fact you go to in these box scores, I know the NFL pretty well, and I go through the whole scouting stuff too, so I know the majority of the people who are getting drafted. You see names that but you really don't even know half the guys that are playing for these teams in these games. It's
a joke. It's a cash grab.
You know who looked darn good yesterday again?
Who?
Brett Hundley.
Yeah, four touchdowns.
He's got seven touchdowns, one pick on the year. I believe they got him in the fifth or the sixth
Green
round.
Bay, right?
Yeah, it's just one of those things. That's just a smart thing. He has time to sit and develop behind Rodgers. That's the kind of thing I wish we had taken. And I said it. I can
Flyer.
Say it now because I said it during the draft coverage.
I remember
on the radio. Why not? Because at that point, you thought at one point he had first-round talent. If he plays well and gets it, I thought he had a similar learning curve to Johnny, so they could be getting the same teaching at the same time, but except he was bigger, had a better arm. If he makes it, he can change your franchise.
Who was our fifth-round pick?
We didn't have one, but we could have. We ended up taking Malcolm Johnson in the sixth. I think Hayes Pollard in the sixth. Charles Gaines in
Telfer,
the sixth.
So basically, we could. Would you trade right now Maley for Hundley? Yes. And he was our fourth-round pick.
Yeah, but would you trade Malcolm Johnson for Hundley?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Malcolm Johnson,
Hayes
Maley,
Pollard.
Charles Gaines for
sure.
Hundley?
Yes. You would. You would. All right, let's bring in our producer, Dave DiNatale. Dino!
Let's do it, guys.
After further review...
All right, first and foremost...
Number one.
Guys, how many quarterbacks, after we've gone through the entire preseason now, how many quarterbacks will this team carry on the 53-man roster?
Two.
Dos!
It's like the kid's least favorite part of wrestling, when there's a two count. He's like, "Why? What's with all the drama?"
So no, not three. The two quarterbacks.
Two
that's
quarterbacks,
it.
Two quarterbacks. That's
two
it.
Two quarterbacks.
Yep.
What? Talk about a question that we're Dunsky on with one there. My goodness.
After further review.
Okay. Who is your MVP of the preseason?
I'll give an offensive defensive MVP. I will say
I like that
offensive MVP. I'm going to give to Josh McCown. His consistent play, and then defensive MVP, I'm going to give to Danny Shelton.
Well, you stole Shelton from me, so I'll go a different route, and I'll say Jamie Meter on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, even though I do call him the next Rich Gannon, I'm going to go a different direction, and I'm going to say... I don't have a good offensive MVP. I'll pass.
What about Travis Benjamin, kid?
Sure, Travis
Benjamin. That was going to be mine.
Travis Benjamin.
Offensive MVP, I would also say Travis Benjamin. I think it's Travis Benjamin or it's Josh McCown. I might even say the offensive MVP was Andy Lee. The guy was unbelievable. He's great. He is a great punter. He's a great punter. And then on defense, since you've said we've gotten – Shelton, Meter, I'd agree with both of those. I'm going to go a different direction. I am going to say Ibrahim Campbell. I think the young safety showed a lot that he is the kind of guy that could be a nice player for your team. I think he's the kind of guy that really is going to be able to be the heir apparent to Dante Whitner. Very smart. and I think he is going to be pretty good. The Browns taken before Hundley were, of course, Shelton, Irving, Orchard, Duke Johnson, Cooper, Campbell, Maley. He was in the fifth round. But we had all those fifths and sixths and sevenths. You could have easily packaged a couple of those to get into the fifth round if you wanted to. And I wish we would have.
Sorry about that, Nathan.
That's okay.
After further review.
Okay, staying with the preseason awards, I need, guys, your top rookie of the preseason. You guys have kind of mentioned it a little bit.
Shelton.
And your most surprising player of this preseason.
Shelton for my most impressive rookie. Most surprising player, I would have to say maybe Josh Lenz. I'll go Josh Lenz just simply because I think that he's a guy that entered this with entered training camp with very little buzz. Probably nobody even knew his name. And following the Orange and Brown scrimmage in Columbus, where he connected with was connected with Johnny Manziel, and then continued to play well throughout the preseason, I would say Josh Lenz.
I'm going to go Shelton. I think that's pretty obvious there. And I'm going to go back to my guy Meter.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy came out of nowhere, and I think he's a lock to make the team now.
I'm going to go Shelton, and then I'll go Bibbs. Because I enjoyed what E.J. Bibbs did this entire offseason, and I hope
that should have been my offensive MVP. I choked.
Go back.
I'm sorry, Dino. My offensive MVP is Mr. Bibbs.
Bibbs.
Bibbs. All right.
Bibbs.
After further review.
All right, guys. We did the CBD 53 for the benefit of anybody who missed it. How many
Shame on you.
Yeah, if you missed it.
What were you doing?
Out. How many wide receivers are going to make this football team?
Seven.
Not counting Marlon Moore.
Seven, not counting Marlon Moore.
I think that's what it's going to be. I don't see them saying we whiffed on a fourth-round pick this close to it. The guy's got some physical traits that are good. He hasn't catched the ball that well, but I don't think we're going to see him cut. And I just think you don't have Terrell Pryor run some read option and show up as a personal protector if that wasn't done for the Jets. And for it to be of any relevance to the Jets, he's got to be on the team.
He does. I don't know. I'm not in love with the situation, but I think, again, the writing's on the wall, all the conversations that have been said, and if you read between the lines in some of the comments by everybody associated with Terrell Pryor, it seems as if he has made this team.
What's so interesting about this to me, and Dino, you can chime in as well. I'd love to get your take on it, is that it seems like this team has almost backed itself into a corner wide receiver, and while it's better than last year, it's still not a position that you're super psyched about, but yet it seems like they're almost counting Marlon Moore eight, not counting him seven, quote-unquote, locks to make this team at wide receiver, and yet you don't really have a number one wide receiver amongst them. You've got the oldest starting trio of wide receivers in the entire NFL if you start Bo, Hartline, and Hawkins with an average age of 29. You got 30, 29, 28. And yet here you are, we're talking about seven or eight receivers, and yet it's not that exciting.
It's sort of like, if you're out carousing in your single days and you're looking to pick up a young lady and there's a bunch of sixes out there. You're not going to be that excited by it, but if there's a bar full of sixes,
I'd rather be single.
I'm with you. But in this case, you're forced to take someone to the dance.
You've got to take
I'm not dancing.
Minutes. You're dancing.
I'm not dancing.
I'm not dancing.
I'm sitting on the bleachers but with Napoleon Dynamite.
Don't you feel
Until
like
Until you got a couple cocktails in you.
It is an interesting thing, though, because it is a situation where you've got so many running backs. Beer goggles can turn that six into an eight. You get so many wide receivers, that you feel like are going to be on this team. And I wonder how many of them, if we went to other teams, would be on that team. Do you know what I mean?
I think all of them would be on other teams, except that they would all be in the 4-7 slot on other teams.
Hartline has been the best.
Hartline would be a 3 on another team, probably. On most teams.
On a playoff team.
Yeah.
FYI, my wife just texted me, capital YES with the crying emoji and no beer goggles.
Excellent.
Glad she's listening.
Yes.
On a Friday.
V.
And finally, guys.
After further review.
All right. So we are, 9 days away from the opener in New York on the 13th. What is the biggest concern you have about the Cleveland Browns heading into week one?
Explosive plays.
I would say the offensive line. Their ability to open up significant holes for the runners behind them, regardless of who it is. Wes Crowe, Duke Johnson, Chandrone, whoever it is, and their ability to protect Josh McCown. Because I think the big plays and the efficiency will rise if Josh McCown is protected. And Nathan, you have the analytics to back that up.
Yeah, Josh McCown is an excellent quarterback when given time to throw the football. Not very good when he's not given time. It all centers around the offense. It's what you talked about. Who are the playmakers that are going to make big plays? And frankly, can this offensive line that's supposed to be one of the absolute best in the entire NFL deliver at the level it is supposed to deliver? That is critical for this team. So I think you guys really hit on it. To me, it's just, can we score enough points week in and week out to win? I think our defense is going to keep us in games, but can we score enough
points?
What's
that number? What's that number?
I think we get to 21. We're going to be in good shape.
I think you're close. I do, too.
I think it's more ball. A lot of it is ball control also that can make the number vary. You know, if we're playing keep away, maybe
17 to 23.
Yeah. If we're not playing keep away, then you maybe need 24 points.
Yeah, and I think we are going to play keep away because given the way that our passing offense works, it has not been so vertical. Look at the drives we had against Tampa. We marched down the field, controlled the clock, controlled the time of possession. If we can do that, it is going to be it's going to certainly help things out. It'll keep the defense fresh and allow them to continue to make plays. I think the playmakers for this team are on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, that's the truth. And so it's going to come from where you can get points. I think Duke Johnson is a guy that was going to be counted on to be a playmaker, and we just haven't been able to see it. And I'm eager to see that.
Hopefully he'll be this year's Odell Beckham.
Yes. Hopefully.
All right, guys, that's this week's edition of
After Further Review.
All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap it up here on this Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Last chance to get in here, get your phone calls in, get your tweets at us. 216-578-0850. Tweet the show at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, at DaKid, DAKID 97, or, of course, at Browns_Daily. We'll be back with more. Zagura, Wilhelm, Curl.